The resurrection changed everything. I think it's so awesome to see and to understand what this day is all about. This day is about the greatest day in history. The greatest day in history when everything changed. Everything changed on this day when Jesus rose, when the grave was empty. On this day, everything changed. That is the significance of the resurrection. I fear so many times as modern Christians, we fail to understand, to appreciate the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it meant for us, what it meant for this world, what it meant for eternity, and what it is still meaning to this very day. We know a lot about His death. We know a lot about Jesus' death on the cross, the fact that He took all our sin upon Himself, the fact that He faced the penalty and the consequence of all our sin, the fact that He was punished so that we can be free. We know a lot about His death, but I fear we sometimes fail to understand the significance of His resurrection. As important as His death was, His death and the purpose of His death were sealed, were consummated, were proved through the resurrection. It's the resurrection that changed everything. Not so much the fact that Jesus died, but the fact that He not only died, but the fact that He raised. It's like Pastor Mario shared, there are so many people that die. What makes Jesus different is the fact that He is still alive. And what that proves, that makes this resurrection so powerful. The resurrection is proof of the fact that Jesus died for our sins. It is the proof of the fact that He bore the penalty of our sin so that He can overcome the consequence of sin. And the consequence of sin is death. It is through His resurrection that He proved that He died for our sin and the consequence of our sin, that was death. Remember, He became sin for us. And He bore the penalty of sin for us. Not just His suffering, but death. But it didn't end there. It is the resurrection that sealed the purpose of His death. It is the resurrection that gives us hope. You know, that sin and death is defeated. That sin and death can be defeated. We never really knew that sin can be defeated. In the Old Testament, the law required that we had to make sacrifices endlessly, year after year, and we never knew that sin could really be defeated. We never really knew that the consequence of sin, death, can be overcome. We never knew that for sure. So we had to, year after year, endlessly repeat making sacrifices for our sins. But when Jesus rose from the dead, we knew that it is finished. Once and for all, sin and death is defeated. Through the resurrection, we also know that death is not the end of life. Death is not the end. But death is simply the gateway to eternal life. You know, that's the amazing thing about Christianity. The resurrection gives us hope. It gives us hope. We have faith, but then we have hope. The resurrection is the source of our hope, that death is not the end. I go to countless funerals. Last weekend, I was at a funeral again. And my first question at this funeral for the bereaving family is just tell me this one thing, because I know the family, but I didn't know their son. I just wanted to know this one thing. Just tell me one thing. Did he know God? Did he follow Jesus? That's all that I need to know as I am preparing for this funeral. I just need to know. I need to know. I need to know, am I speaking hope? Am I speaking joy? Am I speaking expectation that death is not the end? We will meet again. You will see him again. He is waiting for us. And we can celebrate Christ's death for us, that we know that even though we lost a son, a brother, a friend, it is not finished. Death is not the end, because he knows Jesus. He is alive in him. And we mourn our loss. We don't mourn him. We don't mourn him. We mourn our loss. If he did not know Christ, we mourn him. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. The resurrection paved the way for all of us to follow Christ as the firstborn from the dead. Have you ever read that before? Christ being the firstborn from the dead? You know, Christ's resurrection paved the way for us to follow the firstborn. That's what the resurrection is. Jesus was not just a good moral teacher. There were many people before and after him that said significant things that made men think. Jesus was not just a good moral teacher. There was something different about this Jesus. The fact that death could not hold him. The fact that the grave is empty still speaks to this very day. His body wasn't stolen. If it was, they would have presented it as proof that he didn't rise. The disciples didn't conjure up a lie, otherwise they wouldn't have been tortured to death without confessing the truth. Look, it's one thing to believe in a lie, it's another thing dying if you know it's a lie. It's a different thing if you believe a lie. It's something different if you know for sure it is a lie and you're still willing to be tortured for it. It wasn't a lie. They saw Jesus, the resurrection Jesus. Because he has risen. The resurrection changed everything. You must understand, the disciples were afraid. They were fearful. They were scattered. They ran around, afraid. They denied him while he was still alive. They hid from the world. But then something happened. On that third day, that changed everything. That changed everything. It is the new beginning. It is the new covenant. It is the reason we are here today and not yesterday. The reason we are here today and not yesterday is because Jesus raised from the dead on this day. The first day of the week, not on the Sabbath. That is the reason for centuries Christians celebrate together, not on the Sabbath, but on the first day of the week, because it was on the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we are here today and not yesterday. Because it's the new beginning, it is the new covenant, it is the start of new life in Christ Jesus. Not in his death, but in his life. I mean, Matthew 28 verse 1 says it so powerful. Now, after the Sabbath. As the first day of the week began to dawn. That's why we're here today. Because it's the first day of the week. The old is gone. The new has begun. The old covenant was on the last day of the week. The new covenant on the first day of the week. That is why Christians celebrate Sunday. We remember his death through communion, but we celebrate his life on Sunday. That's why we come together. With that celebration, we celebrate his life, not his death. The tomb is empty. He is risen. He is alive. That is why we're here today. I want us to read from Luke chapter 24 that speaks about this amazing event that took place. Luke 24 from verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." I mean, what a powerful question these two angels ask the believers. This is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that came to balsam the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath was over, so they could actually physically go and work. You know, they couldn't do it the day before because it was the Sabbath. They were not allowed to. So this was the first day of the week, and they came to the Lord Jesus to honor his death. And they came with these spices. But the tomb was empty. The grave was empty. And two angels appear to them and ask this very powerful question that still echoes in eternity, that still echoes into the hearts of believers. And it is so important to understand this question was not asked to unbelievers. It was asked to believers. Why do you seek the living among the dead? It's a powerful question. You know, there are many churches where Christians worship a Jesus hanging on a cross. Literally, Jesus hanging on a cross, lifeless. Dead. A lifeless cross, a lifeless corpse, a lifeless Jesus hanging there. He doesn't move, he doesn't speak, he just hangs there, lifeless. Many Christians worship Jesus like that. And God is asking, why do you seek the living among the dead? Is it tradition? There are so many Christians, so many churches that follow tradition. They follow tradition. There are many who follow tradition more than they follow a living God. They follow the tradition more than they're following a living God. They're following tradition. Many of us as Christians, we are doing things because our fathers did them. And we're doing them because their fathers did it. And because my father and his father did it, therefore I do it. And we follow tradition. God is asking a very powerful question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, there are many Christians that I meet that follow a Jesus that has no power. He cannot heal. He cannot prophesy. He cannot speak. He cannot interpret. Now, that happened 2,000 years ago for a certain time and is no longer relevant today. It stopped 2,000 years ago. It's no longer here. Why do you seek the living among the dead?
Now, some believers, you can show them the Word of God. You can show them the very words of Jesus. You can show them the truth. But they still rather believe what the world says is truth. You can bring to them the Word of God. You can bring to them the very words of Jesus. You can bring to them the example. You can expand on them in great detail and simplicity, the truth. And yet there are some Christians that will still rather believe what the world says is truth. They will accept the world's view as truth. What the world says about creation, what the world says about marriage, what the world says about homosexuality. And God is saying, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you look for a savior in all the wrong places? So many Christians. We want to live the life that we have been given. We want to live it to the fullness. And we chase after things that will literally kill us. It will ultimately kill us. We chase after the things that we know are empty. We chase after it because we want the fullness of life. We want to live life to the fullness. And we chase after these things that will ultimately kill us. Wealth, fame, sex, power. Why do we search for fulfillment in emptiness? People will sacrifice their families. They will sacrifice their morals. They will sacrifice everything for more money. For more success. For more influence. For more power. They will work late at night and early in the morning. And they will compromise on so many things. In friendship, in family, in anything just to gain more money, more wealth, more power, more influence, more fame. Christians. God is asking, why do you seek the living among the dead? There is only one who has life. There is only one that has life, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the only source of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the God that we serve. That is the answer. That is the living. That is Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus that's hanging on the cross, but the Jesus that has risen, that is alive, that sits at the right hand of God. That is the source of life. That is the only source of life. Sin could not beat him. Hell could not keep him. Death could not stop him. He is still alive. He is the source of life. He is the only source of life. Why do you keep on looking for the living among the dead? Jesus died so that we can be forgiven. He rose so that we can have life. Jesus rose so that we can have life. Jesus rose so that he can show us life. Amen. The resurrection is the hope in which we stand. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The resurrection is the hope in which we stand. Because it proves, it points, it paves to the way of life. That is only found in Christ Jesus. In Romans 6, verse 3 to 11, Paul writes, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death, therefore we were buried through him into baptism and into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the Father of the glory, so we also should walk in newness of life. Isn't that powerful? He continues to speak about this life and this mystery in Romans 6. He continues to speak about this. He says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. I don't have the scripture there, sorry. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. And then these powerful words, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It is so powerful what the resurrection has done for us who are in Christ Jesus. That we have died with him. Our old man was crucified with him. It was done away with him in the grave. But Christ is not in the grave. He was raised to new life. And the word of God says, in the same way as your sin was crucified with Christ, in the same way your life is now in his resurrection. And that you can count yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We read this before. I'm going to repeat that scripture that I started with, Romans 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism or through death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. How powerful is that? The resurrection changed everything. The resurrection is the life in which we can walk. It's the newness of life in which we can walk. We can celebrate not because he was crucified. We can celebrate because he is risen. He's risen, he's alive. And he's not just alive. His resurrection paved the way for us to follow him. To follow him with an expectation not of death eternal, but of life eternal. And not just after death, but in this life. That's why Paul says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I mean, how powerful is that? That verse preceding that says, he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also live in him, through him, to God. That is the newness of life that we have in the resurrection. That is what we celebrate. We celebrate today not the fact that Christ died. We celebrate the fact that he has risen, that he is alive. And that resurrection life is not just for him, it's for all of us. It's not just after death, it is for now. We can walk in the newness of life that God has given through his Son. But why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you look to tradition? Why do you look to emptiness? Why do you look to habit and control and all the things that the world promises to be fullness? Why do you seek the living there? It's dead. It will come to nothing. So we celebrate, not because he was crucified, but because he has risen. Not because he died, but because he lives. Luke 24 answers the question. At verse 5 to 6, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. He is alive. Don't try and find God in tradition. Don't try and find God in religion. Don't try and find God in churches, in buildings, in the way your fathers did things. Don't try and find him in the world. Don't try and find him there. He's not there either. Don't try and find him in a monument. He's not there. He's alive. But he's not there. He is alive. He's not stationary. He's alive. Don't approach a dead God. There are so many Christians. There are so many believers that are looking for a lifeless God. That has no expectation for the life and the fullness that he promises. That has no expectation that he's going to respond. That he's going to speak. And that you will hear. And we run to these things that gives us comfort. What the world says and what religion says and what tradition says. And we run to these things. And we seek in these things. We make these things more important. The most important thing. It's like we need to find God in my tradition. I need to find God in my religion. I need to find God in my church. I need to find him in this place. But God is not there. He's alive. He's everywhere. He will be in your tradition, yes. He will be in your church, yes. He will be in your culture, yes. He will be in religion, yes. But he's not dead. He is alive. He has risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? You can know him. You can know him. You can be as close to God as anybody in this world. You can be as close to God as anyone in this book. If you just seek him. But don't seek him as a dead God. Don't seek him as a powerless God. Don't seek him as a God hanging on a cross. Don't seek him as a statue. Don't seek him as tradition. Don't seek him as religion. Seek him as a living God. The resurrection changed everything because God is alive. God is here. God is everywhere, but God is here. We are here today, gathered together in his name. And he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not there. He is here. Just seek a living God. So let us seek him. As believers, let us seek him as being risen, as being alive, as being real. As being everywhere, far and near. distant yet so close. The Almighty God that knows everything, sustains everything, yet sees us and knows us and longs us to know Him. The God that opens His heart towards us so that we can come to Him because He has given His Son so that we may have life, so that we can be changed, to become more like Him. So that's the God that we serve. Let's approach Him as a living God with an expectation. You know what? The early Christians did not build a church on the tomb. No, they met at the temple and went from house to house. They went everywhere. Because Jesus isn't there. He's everywhere. We must just seek Him as being alive and not dead. So let us seek Him. Let us follow Him as living, not as dead. Let us turn from walking in the way of the dead. Let us turn from walking in the way of the dead. Let us turn our search. It's like this plane that went down, this awesome, mighty, big plane that is designed to fly, and the tragedy and the mystery and the grievance and the sorrow and of people searching for answers and searching for that plane, and they're searching everywhere and they cannot find anything because it's not there. It's somewhere else. I want to encourage you, don't search for the living amongst the dead. Search a living God. It starts with an expectation in our hearts, a knowing that He is real, and that we can seek Him for that. So let us turn from walking in the way of the dead, and let us walk in the newness of life, the resurrection life that He has given us. I want to encourage you as you're here today, as this day we celebrate all over the world the resurrection of Jesus, let us seek Him as being alive and not dead. Let us seek Him outside of our tradition and our religion. But let us seek Him for who He is. Let us seek Him in what He has given us. He has given us the Word. He has given us His Spirit. He's given us His life. Let us seek Him as being alive. Let us approach the Word not as dead letters, not as a good book, but when you approach the Word of God as being alive and powerful, it becomes alive and powerful. When you approach it as just another book, it's dead. But when you approach it as being alive, it becomes alive. When you approach God as dead, He's dead. For many, sadly, hanging on a cross. But He is alive. So let us seek Him as being alive. He is here today. He's here today and I believe he's speaking to many of us here. And He's asking this question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? I am not there. I am here. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank You that You are not too far, too great, too awesome, too holy that there is no way to approach You. In our humanity, in our frailty, in our sinfulness, God, You are too far. You are too great. You are too holy. But God, because of Your love for us, God, And your desire, God, your desire to have us come to you, Father, you made a way. You made a way for us to approach you without fear of perishing. You called your son and you said, my son, I want you to become a sacrifice. My son, the sin and the death that's on humanity that prevents them to come to me. My son, I want you to become that sin. And I want you to overcome it. I want you to destroy it. I want you to face it, embrace it, become it. And I'm going to punish you for that. I'm going to punish you. Because my righteousness, my holiness demands justice. But my heart is not to punish them. My heart is to see them come to me as a loving father. So my son, I want you to go. Will you go stand on behalf of them? So that they can be free. And Lord, we want to thank you that you were willing, to humble yourself, to become like us, to live amongst us, and to face our rejection for your love. And you were willing to take upon our sin and our shame and our guilt, and to become what you are not, and face a holy God. To be punished for us so that we can be free, so that we can be forgiven. But Father, we want to thank you that Jesus was not just punished because of his obedience. Father, you raised him up. You raised him. You gave him new life. You gave him the keys of life and death. He was risen. He overcame hell, sin, and death. And he was raised to new life. And you returned to us. You walked amongst us for 40 days. You appeared to your disciples, to the women, to the 500, and to many others. And you are still alive today. You are seated at the right hand of God. You are making intercession for us. You have poured your Spirit out in us, the same Spirit that was in you, that we may know that you are alive, that you are real. God, we want to thank you that you're alive. And you're not just alive, but you paved the way for us to follow. God, because we were so trapped in this world, in our sinfulness. And you've come to give us life in the Father, in all his fullness. And God, you are the way. You are the way to that fullness. You're the way to that life. You're the one that leads us from death to life. And it's not a creed. It's not a doctrine. It's a person. A person that is real. A person that has truth. That has confines of right and wrong. Yes. Within you, there is no darkness. But you are more than a creed. You're alive. And you are the source of life. You are eternal life. God, we come to you, Lord, and we want to turn. We want to turn from our seeking after emptiness. And we want to turn to you, Father, on this day. We want to turn to you, Jesus, as the source of life. We want to acknowledge you as being alive. We want to follow you with everything because we know where you lead. You lead to where there's life, to where the Father is. We want to follow you as our guide, as our shepherd. Lord, I want to pray for each and every heart here today, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, there are some people here today, Lord, that you are speaking to, and you're asking this this question, why do you seek me among the dead? God, I want to pray for those that are here today, Lord, that you are speaking to, Lord, through your Spirit, God, and your Word, Lord, that you are speaking to us, Lord, and you're asking us to turn. To turn our search away from the world and the things in the world. I believe God is calling some of us out of those who are among the dead. Out of compromise and sin. Out of tradition and religion. And out of knowledge only and not a relationship with Him. I believe God is speaking to you, and I don't know who you are. I don't know what is God calling you to turn from. Whether it's compromise or sin or tradition and religion or just knowledge of Him and not having a relationship with Him, not experiencing Him, not experiencing Him, and maybe you've been satisfied with the knowledge of God, but you're not experiencing Him as real, and God is calling you to turn to Him today. He's calling you on this awesome day that we celebrate all across the world, and He's declaring to you, I'm here, I'm risen, I'm alive. I'm not knowledge only. I'm alive. And there's some of you that maybe have strayed and you're in compromise and sin, and God is calling you, here I am, I'm alive. This is the way of life. Come to me. And for some of us, maybe we're holding on so tightly to the tradition that we have that we miss who He is, and God is calling us to let go, just to gently let go of the tradition and search Him for who He is. Not for who others says He is, but that you may know Him for who He is. If that is you, if God is speaking to you, I just want you to respond to Him. Just by raising your hand, if God has been speaking to you, if you know that you need to turn to Him in this day as He's calling you, I just want you to raise your hand. You know who God has been, thank you for those hands. You know who God has been speaking to. You can drop those hands. But if you know God is calling you today, God is calling you to turn your search. To turn your search. There are some people that are searching for God, frustrated. I don't know who you are, but it's as if you are frustrated that you cannot find Him. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God, because God is speaking to you today. If you are frustrated in finding Him, just respond by raising your hand. Just respond. God sees those hearts as those hands are going up. If you are here today and you know there are compromise in your life, you are searching after emptiness. You are heading towards what the world says. God is calling you today. I don't know who you are, but God is speaking to you. And He's saying, seek me. If that is you, just respond to God. I really believe God wants to do something in your life. He wants to set you free. If you're trapped, He wants to set you free. Is there somebody like that? That's trapped in a habit, trapped in compromise, and you feel you cannot get free, or you think you have life in that. God wants to set you free today. I really believe there's somebody, even with addiction, that God wants to set free. If that is you, just respond to God. Say, God, here I am. Thank you for those hands. And then there's some people here today, as I was preparing, I believe your hope is too small. Your hope is too small. Christ, risen God, is our hope for eternity. And I just sense God is saying you are hoping too small. The resurrection changed everything. Everything that was lost was brought back to life. And it's like
you do not trust God that He can restore everything. I don't know what you've lost, but it's like you do not trust God. And God is saying your hope is too small. My followers, they lost everything. Their hopes, their dreams, their Messiah, their life died on that cross. But the resurrection changed everything. And if that is you, if you're struggling to trust God for something, I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am. Well, I'm struggling to trust you. Thank you for those signs. I want to ask you to do something bold. I want to ask you, everybody that raised your hands, I don't know, nobody's going to know who you are for what you raised your hand, but I really believe that God wants to do something in your life today. He wants to set you free. He wants to redirect you. He wants to come and impart His life into you. He wants you to come to a living God. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to come to Him as you are, with your frustration, with your fear, with your compromise, with your hopelessness. He wants you to come to Him because He wants to impart something into you. So I want to ask you, if you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to do something bold and just to respond to God by coming to Him in faith. Don't come to Him through tradition. Don't come to Him because that's what we do. But come to Him with faith. Say, God, I'm coming to You because I want to receive from You, the risen God. If that is you, I want you to come forward. If you've raised your hand, I just want to encourage you, quickly come forward. And We're going to pray and we're going to usher into God's presence. We're not going to do anything. God's going to do anything. But we just want you to respond to that. That's so powerful. Just quickly come forward. If you raised your hand, I just want you to come forward. Because I really believe God is speaking to you. He wants to redirect your life, your heart, your faith, who you are. Just come. We're going to give you a few moments. Just come. The rest of us, I just want us to honor this moment. And give a few moments. I'm going to ask the facilitators, the cell facilitators, if you can help. We're going to have communion now. But first we're going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, those who raised your hand. Something powerful that happens when we respond to God as a living God. Don't be afraid, don't be shy. Just come to Him with an expectation. Is there anybody else? Now is going to be a good time. Facilitators, you can just come out so long with the bread and the wine. I'm going to pray for these people, and then now you can just stand in front. And then I just want, when we're finished here in the front, just want everybody to come forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to partake of communion. We're going to remember the cost for the freedom that we have. We're going to remember the cost for the life that we have. We're going to come before God and we're going to thank Him for what He has done for us. But while you are seated there, while you are waiting, I just want you for a moment just to reflect on where your heart is at and where you are seeking God. Where are you seeking God? Are you seeking Him amongst the living? Or you're seeking Him amongst the dead. And I just want you to take a moment while we're waiting, and I just want you to reflect on that, and I want you to speak to God. I want you to speak to God because He's here. And I don't know what's on your heart, but I want you just to communicate that to Him. Communicate that to Him in your own heart, softly. Nobody needs to hear you, but I just want you to communicate with God. What are the things on your heart? What are the desires? What are the things that you want to ask God, that you want to receive from Him? Just as we are
busy ministering. I just want you to connect with God. Can we do that? Because He's here. He's alive. Let's approach Him as being alive and not dead. Exercise that faith that He has given us as we come to Him.